So here I am, touching a door handle that James Joyce touched, so that I can commune with him in a curious way, as though it's some sort of holy artifact, this door, and look at the ancient Egyptian-style head. Time of Egyptomania, late 19th century, craze for all things Egyptian. So in 1906, was it, Joyce came back from Trieste, where he's living with his two little children, visited a friend of Mr. Byrne, living at number 7 Eccles Street, Dublin. And then he heard from someone that his girlfriend, Nora Barnacle, had been stepping out with another young man at the same time she was dating Joyce. Joyce was eviscerated by the news, and then he wrote to her about these allegations that the friend of children wasn't true, blah, blah, blah. But he, this 7 Eccles Street, a real address, he wrote that as the address of Leopold Bloom, the protagonist of Ulysses. So the house was eventually demolished in the 1960s, so Patrick Kavanagh, other literary luminaries, a generation after Joyce died, they saved the door. I mean, later it was bought by Marks and Spencer, who got on permanent loan to the Joyce Centre. Okay, and this is what it looked like in 1950. Number 7 Eccles Street had seen better days, rather decrepit. Here it was, partly knocked down, completely knocked down, and so on. And here's Patrick Kavanagh with the hat, the well-known poet from where is it? Somewhere like County Monaghan. And then look at this mural. Is it quite a mural? Telling the story of Bloomsday. Why is the bed out here? I'm showing my ignorance. And look, the map of Dublin on his face. Calling his wife, Nora Barnacle, this portable island. Okay, what was I going to say? So 16th of June, 1904. And there's, it starts in this Martello Tower, Sandy Cove, sharing with an Englishman, and Oliver Gogarty, give us that key, so on. And here, talking about Joyce's various phobias, there he is. There's that moment of epiphany on the Strand. Ineluctable modality, the invisible. Am I walking into eternity along Sandy Mount Strand? He lolloped all the metal rock from under a cocked hind leg pissed against it. What is that word known to all men? I don't know. Here's Mr. Leopold Bloom, a Jewish Dubliner, an adulterer and so on, talking about what he eats. No, she did not want anything. He heard then a warm, heavy sigh, softer as she turned over, and loose brass quoits of bedstead jingled. Must get those settled, really. Pity. It's a bit of interior monologue, very closely observed, the minutiae of movements and its sensory writing about everything, the odours, the physical sensations, the tastes, auditory stimuli, and so forth, as well as the visuals. He crossed the bright side, avoiding those loose cellar flap of number 75. The sun was nearing the steeple of George's Church. Be a warm day, I fancy. So you're never quite sure when these are thoughts, when these are utterances, and so forth. Okay, the priest bent down to put it into her mouth, murmuring all the time Latin. The next one, shut your eyes and open your mouth. What? Corpus, body, corpse. Good idea, the Latin, stupefies them first. So you see him cocking a snoop at Catholicism. And he loves his wordplay, so plenty of quips. The Grand Canal, he said. There really is a Grand Canal, but is the canal grand? And look, what we call minstrelsy, now regarded as very racialistic blackface. A tiny coffin flashed by in a hurry to bury. A mourning coach, unmarried. Black for the married, piebald for the bachelors, done for a nun. As in the horses, piebald as in when they're mixed colours, bits of black, bits of white, whatever, all over the place. And so on, it goes on. Well, they used to drive cattle along the road, a bit like the moo cows mentioned in the beginning, Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, his reminiscences of infancy. And look at the Irish Round Tower, nice smell these soaps had, and all the rest of it. The chemist turned back page after page. Sandy shriveled smell seemed to have shrunken skull. An old quest for the Philosopher's Stone, the alchemists. Is that something that J.K. Rowling took up? What is home without plum trees, potted meat, incomplete with it, an abode of bliss? You see the musicality to it. Things go on same day after day. Squads of police marching out, trams in, out. Those two loonies mooching about. Dignam carted about, mind a pure Freud swollen, belly on a bed groaning to have a child tugged out of her, one born every second somewhere. other dying every second since I fed the birds 5 minutes, 300 kick the bucket. I was thinking, so kick the bucket, that's obviously British slang for died. And the one about mooching, is that Hiberno English or is that just Edwardian English? So forth. And here in the library, there's Shakespeare, one of the seats. Freud, just think, Freud, Lenin, and Joyce were all in Zurich at the same time in the First World War. I have a special knack of putting a noose once in, he can't get out. He was still hanging in Ireland in those days. Terence O'Ryan heard him and straightway brought him a crystal cup full of foaming ale. By Jesus, I'll brain that bloody Jewman for using the holy name. So some anti-Semitism around. Mendelssohn was a Jew and Karl Marx and Mercadante and Spinoza. And the Saviour was a Jew and his father was a Jew, your God. Notice he's using small J's for Jew. The tear is bloodied near the eye. Talking through his bloody hat, fitter for him to go home to the little sleepwalking bitch he married, Mooney the bum bailiff's daughter. Well, I know what a bailiff is. His dark eyes fixed themselves on her. Look at this. Yous join us, dear sir. So, writing in Dublinese. She saw that he saw that. She let the Blessed Virgin there. Look at the bishop above with his mitre. Guinness, and then the railway above. So what they used to wear. Accordingly passed his left arm, and Stephen's right and led him accordingly. They crossed both the circus before George's Church diametrically. So he's very closely paying attention to the geography of Dublin. Pork Kidney, copy Freeman's Journal, which is a real newspaper in the early 20th century. Bath and Gratification Tram Fare, In Memoriam, Patrick Dick and Banbury Cakes. You think, who would care so much about the particulars of exactly how much things cost and where things are? You'd have to be a real Dublin pedant to care. You think the literature would be just as precious, even if there were slight inaccuracies. Because if people wanted a geography book, presumably they'd purchase one. All right, so that's a little bit about this back courtyard of the James Joyce Museum. Well, I'm delighted I've come here. I never watched trips to Dublin, I've never been before. Salle de bain, I'm not going to go down. Private, a little kitchen there. And up the stairs. Oh, and then a map of Dublin 1904. And does it allude to all the things that happen? Yeah. So Ulysses, the Greek myth, of course he was classically educated. They put all those events into one day in Dublin. Well, like there's a one-eyed man who becomes a cyclops and throwing pint glasses at him becomes a throwing the stones or whatever by Atom, that ship, the ship of Odysseus. And here he is. Lady was asked, what were you thinking when this photo was taken? Saying, I was wondering if he'd lend me 3 shillings. So died January 1941 in Zurich, where he'd fled in the First World War from Vichy, France. He could have come back to Southern Ireland, but chose not to do so. We're neutral in the war.